I have something to say before I even open up in prayer. Because God was explaining something to me the other day. He said he's disgusted with the perversion that goes on in the house of God. And, you know, I'll just say, like, you ladies come in and you look, I'll say, Adam, you look at Adam and say, boy, isn't he handsome. Excuse me. Then you set your sights for him. But you don't know what's behind that beard, and that what you call handsome is a devil. Excuse me. You understand what I'm saying? And then you go for that thing. Yeah, you're married and you still lust and go after that thing. God showed me this the other day. And it's just like, you know, all right, so you, a girl's into church and you people are supposed to be the staff. You see that girl and you just can't hardly keep your mind on God because your sex drive is drawn to that girl. See, this is the kind of stuff that God's upset with in the house of God. And you don't know that behind that girl's face is a devil too. Isn't that right? So I want you guys and you women to think about all this. When you're lusting after somebody in the house of God, it shouldn't go on in the house of God anyhow. But when you're lusting after somebody, you're really not of God. You're the devil and you're letting him use you in the house of God. And that destroys the anointing for other people. So just think about that. Now, another thing God's been dealing with me about is we're always complaining about what our kids are doing. So the other day, as I wasn't complaining, I was praying about my children. And then here come into my mind the fact that the day I walked down the aisle, you know the story, I heard a voice saying, don't walk down that aisle. I don't want you to do this. Not knowing that was God, never heard about hearing God's voice. I walked on down the aisle and got married. So what did I do just at that point? Rebellion. Right? I got married in rebellion, and I had three children in rebellion because I didn't know that I had rebellion, and I didn't know I should have gotten delivered before I had children. So that rebellion went from me into my children. I look at my children through different eyes now. And maybe some of you sitting in here should do the same thing. You need to look at your children through different eyes. Look at them like, what did you do to for that they're acting the way they are acting? And I believe if every one of you women in here were honest, you would say you were in rebellion of some sort too. And you did not do what God told you to do. And so now you have produced more rebellion. And we know as you do deliverances, you have to break off the generational curses. You know, you already have children now that are cursed because in a generational curse, and they were born with that. And then along with that comes more and more and more. Do you have a person totally, you know, filled up with generational curses or just with spirits because of one generational curse? So I really, you know, God's just been dealing with me in a lot of areas. And I believe that each one of you in here can honestly say there's things in your life. Some of you guys that don't have children. And as I watched you go along, I can understand why. Because you would have had a house full of little demons, you know. And some of you who said God told you to get pregnant and you got pregnant and there's different things going on with these children. Did God really tell you to get pregnant? Or was that another voice that you listened to and just got pregnant? You need to be honest with yourselves. Honesty sets you free. You have to be honest in every area, not just one or two. Because if you're going to get out there and you're going to lead other people, you yourself have to be freed up of any lies that you have conjured up in your mind, because you'll find yourself agreeing with the devils and the other people. All right. Well, Father, I just truly do thank you for this night. I thank you for your awesome presence. I thank that you are an all-seeing, all-knowing God, and you knew everything that we were going to go through before we ever left our mother's womb. And Father God, I thank you that you stayed with us. You taught us, you chastised us, you loved us, and you brought us to this place in your kingdom. And Father, we just thank you that you're here with us tonight. I thank you, Father God, that those who are really listening have already opened up their ears to hear what thus saith the Lord. And no matter what you say, if it hits home, then they're ready to receive it so they can be set free. And Father, I thank you that the blood covers. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Tonight, God's talking about eagles. I'm sort of excited about this because he started talking to me about eagles for the newsletter for November. And then for this bulletin, I think there's three articles that he gave me about eagles. And so tonight we're going to talk about eagles again. There's something in this. And I haven't grasped the whole thing that God's trying to do with this eagle thing that he's doing, but we're going to find out. And I'm hoping tonight you'll be able to walk freer than you did before you came in. Now, when I was talking to Sister Nancy about the bulletin, and we were talking about, I was telling her how God started this. She said, "You taught us about the eagle force a couple years ago." I said, "I did." And she said, "Yeah." So she sent it to me, and I taught it in 2006, I think it was. And so that's what I'm teaching you, some of that tonight and some of the other things that God has added to it. This is important for you to get down in your spirit, all right? So just close your ears to everything else and close your mind to everything else and just open them up to what God wants you to receive tonight. All right, Matthew 11:12 says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And an incredible force is being released on the earth. God said, my war eagles will terrify hell's regime. This is God speaking, if anyone attacks you, don't for a moment suppose that I sent them. If any should attack, nothing will come of it. And Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against you will prosper, and every tongue which rises up against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord." Now, if you're like me, when you read that scripture, when God told me that Isaiah 54 was my scripture I could stand on from till I die, I thought, devil can't touch me. Nothing's ever going to happen to me. I'm just going to walk in just total bliss until I go to heaven. Lie. See how the devil twisted that and made me believe a lie, right? So God said, there's never been a warrior force like it before in history. They are going to be called my war eagles. Now, I want you to think to yourself right now, I am one of those war eagles. Just think that to yourself. Get that in your spirit. They are going to be called my war eagles. They will make up my eagle force, and that eagle force will partner with my angel force and my remnant warrior champions. And we are the remnant warriors. So this new generation that God is bringing into the church, he already told us years ago that they were going to be cleaned up and they wouldn't leave God ever. Now, God said there is coming now a generation of young warriors that will partner with the remnant warriors who have been championing the call for years. And I guess little Isaiah was up here preaching to you. So he's one of them young war. You will see him up here preaching. You wait and see. He sees visions already. All right, there is coming now a generation of young warriors that will partner with the remnant warriors who have been championing the call for years. So, guys, we stayed in the race, and now we're going to work with these young people that God's bringing in, and we're going to watch and see how they tear down hell. All right, then God goes on to say, and they will now be called my war eagles. They will ride the waves of my glory. They will ride the currents of my winds. They will ride the outbreakings of my presence, and they will begin to manifest the works of my kingdom. They will demonstrate my power. They will accomplish my will, my way, and they will ride my tsunami wave ablaze with my glory. Now, God told us this morning he's finished with the church. If you didn't enter in, then you're lost. But this group that God's bringing in now, we won't have to beg and plead for them to serve God. God said not one kingdom will be able to withstand them, you know, these war eagles. My unique eagle force will startle the world with the intensity in which they stand for me. The coming generation of war eagles have been groomed and reserved for hell's siege of the earth, and they will now be loosed. Now let's stop there. The coming generation of war eagles have been groomed and reserved for hell's siege of the earth, and they will now be loosed. And what God is saying here, people out there unsaved, he's already has them. He already has them marked. And when he drops his glory and brings it, this group will come in to the church. And these are the ones, even though they're out there on drugs, on addiction, perversion, I don't care what it is, God already has them marked to work for his kingdom in this end time. They will not bow to the enemies of their God. They will not bow to the devil because they serve God. They will not pay tribute to enemy kings. They will not listen to the propaganda and insults of hell. And they will not allow me to be lumped in with other gods which are not gods. They will terrify hell's regime. They will wrap themselves to me and I will fly with them. They will twist their grip around me and I will mount up with them. We will soar, we will run. They will run, carried by me at speeds never before seen. And we will leap the barriers. We will leap the walls and we will catapult into demon blockades and break them asunder. We will shatter the gates of hell. My war eagles, both young and remnant veterans, will now arise with me, says the Lord, and they will scream with hunting aggression and ride me in the battle. They will battle vicious, cruel regimes. They will bring deliverance to tortured captives. They will not surrender in fear, though surrounded. Though odds may be against them, it will not rattle them. They will not give up, though the facts look gruesome. They will not relent, though new weapons of war never tried before come against them. New war tactics will only strengthen their grip upon me. They will fly with my weight to them. The weight of my presence will be braided unto them, and they will circle and they will dive at incredible speeds, and they will devastate the sentries of hell. The adversary's kingdom will now become their prey. My unique eagle force will become terrifying splendor to the kingdom of darkness. They will terrify hell's regime because they ride in my presence. See, this new group that God's bringing in because he's done with the church. So he's been cleaning up the church, cleaning out the church. He's going to bring new people in, and these new people will have this Holy Spirit upon them. I'm going to stop there because coming in here, I was just meditating on what God was speaking to me, and he said, if people want to know if they're filled with the Spirit, you know, if you're born again, you receive Jesus, you're supposed to receive the Holy Spirit. All right, so, and with speaking in tongues. Now, a lot of people speak in tongues but don't walk in the Spirit, so God said they have not received me. Eye-opener. They speak in tongues, but they don't walk in the Spirit. So therefore, they never received Christ as their Lord and Savior. They said it with their mouth, but they never received it in their heart. Are you understanding this? See, if you're really thinking about God and thinking, you know, and asking God to really, really reveal truths to you, he'll just start talking to you at the oddest times, you know, and he'll just reveal all kind of stuff to you. So, you know, if you're not hearing from God, it's because you have not really surrendered to God and you have really not asked him to speak to you in any given moment. You haven't yielded yourself to him. All right, he says, my war eagles who wrap themselves together with me will soar with supernatural power. They will ride the wind currents of heaven. Now, God's really been saying that to us for about a year now, but, you know, in different teachings, in different ways. Now, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, I'm sorry. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. My spirit will renew them. My presence will re-strengthen them. They will mount up with me on wings as eagles, and no weapon formed against them will prosper. All who rise against them will fall. This is the heritage of my kids, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. You know, as we sang those songs, there was so much meaning in that songs, and I'm thinking, God, I just hope they really understand what they're singing. And I hope they really believe what they're singing. You know, God told us one time, if we're going to sing to him, then we have to really mean what we're singing. And just not sing because everybody else is singing. All right, God told us what, four or five years ago, we're living in Joel chapter 2. All right, let's read that, Joel chapter 2, verse 1, because it describes what God's talking about here, his eagle force. It says, blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. A people come great and strong. First of all, he's saying that it's going to be dark and gloomy, and now he's talking about a people that's going to come. A people come great and strong, the like of whom has never been, nor will there ever be any such after them, even for many successive generations. A fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. The land is like the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Surely nothing shall escape them. Isn't that what God just told us here? Isn't that what he just described? Their appearance is like the appearance of horses and like swift steeds, so they run. With a noise like chariots over mountaintops, they leap, like the noise of a flaming fire that devours a stubble, like a strong people set in battle array. Before them, the people writhe in pain. All faces are drained of color. They run like mighty men. They climb the wall like men of war. Everyone marches in formation, and they do not break ranks. They do not push one another. Everyone marches in his own column. Though they lunge between the weapons, they are not cut down. They run to and fro in the city. They run on the wall. They climb into the houses. They enter at the windows like a thief. The earth quakes before them. The heavens tremble. The sun and moon grow dark, and the stars diminish their brightness. The Lord gives voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For strong is the one who executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? All right, it says over here, let me see where, I want to go back over here. All right, he spoke to us in the word about these new warriors. They were going to be a people great and strong, the like of whom has never been, nor will there ever be any such after them, even for many successive generations. In other words, the only time you're going to see this type is right now. Why does it need to be right now? Because the world has gone into chaos, and we are setting the stage for the second coming of Jesus Christ. And God has to raise up these wild ones, I'll call them, so that they can destroy the throes of darkness. So it opens a gate for Jesus to come and finish the end. And then we won't need them anymore. They're just needed for right now. And God has been telling us that we're going to be doing things that nobody's ever heard of. And the reason why we'll be doing those things that nobody ever heard of is because the world has never been in the shape it is in today. Total rebellion against God. And the more if you read the news, they're just conjuring up more and more and more darkness against the church and against God. God has to release these people right now. And he's called us part of the eagle force. We are the remnant. You need to get that into your mind, into your heart. You are part of the remnant, and God needs you. But if you don't want to clean up, then God's not going to use you. There's always somebody to take your place. So don't ever fool yourself to think, well, God can't do this without me. Oh, yes, he can. Yes, he can. So in a prophetic word that I put out, or it might be in a bulletin, in a prophetic word, God said the eagle is soaring and getting ready to land. Now, I want you to picture a beautiful eagle coming out of dark storm clouds, stretching forth his wings and flying straight towards the sun. The eagle is the only bird that has a special third eye lens that enables him to look at and fly directly towards the sun, S-U-N, which frees him from his enemies, his third eye, where he can fly into the sun, S-U-N. No other bird has this ability. It's the same with us. Only as we keep our eyes focused directly upon the sun, S-O-N, during our storms of life will we ever be able to experience freedom from our enemies. Only as we keep looking to Jesus in our night seasons can we also have victory over ourself, our circumstances, other people's responses, and the enemy's attacks. God's been telling us, look up, keep your eyes upon me, and don't look at your circumstances, right? Now, let's talk about the eagle story. I ran across this years ago, and I just kept it, and I really think it's a neat story. It's a story about a wounded eaglet who was rescued by a kind farmer. He found the bird in one of his fields and so took him home, tended to his wounds, and then placed him outside in the barnyard to recover. Strangely enough, the young eaglet soon adapted to the habits of all the barnyard chickens. Remember when God used to talk about us, quit pecking at the ground, you know, and quit being like the chickens? He learned to drink from a trough and peck the dirt for food. And for many years, he peacefully resigned himself to this new life on the ground. But then one day, one of the farmer's friends spotted the eagle and asked, "Why in the world is that bird acting like a chicken?" The farmer told him what had happened, yet the man could hardly accept the situation. "It's just not right," said the friend. "The Creator made that bird to soar in the heavens, not scavenge in the barnyard." And a lot of God's people are scavenging in the barnyard when you were born to soar. So this friend picked up the unsuspecting eagle, climbed onto a nearby fence post, and tossed him into the air. But the confused bird just fell back to the earth and scurried off in search of his feathered friends. Undaunted, the man then grabbed the eagle and climbed to the top of the barn. As he heaved him off the roof, the bird made a few half-hearted squawks and flaps before falling into a bale of hay. After shaking his head a few times, the eagle then made himself comfortable and began mindlessly pecking at pieces of straw. The friend went home that night dejected and could barely sleep as he remembered the sight of those powerful talons caked with barnyard mud, you know, his little claws. He couldn't bear the thought, so the very next day he headed back to the farm for another try. Now, so this is how we should be with somebody we see imprisoned, you know, by Satan's tactics. We give up on them when we should go back and keep going back until we see them free. So the next day he headed back for the farm for another try. This time he carried the eagle to the top of a nearby mountain. You know, this eagle's not used to flying now, remember that, where the sky unfolded in a limitless horizon. He looked into the eagle's eyes and cried out, "Don't you understand? You weren't made to live like a chicken." So I'm saying to you in your night, don't you understand that you are not made to live with the pigeons? Because God talked about pigeons in the Word. "Why would you want to stay down here," the man said to the eagle, "when you were born for the sky?" As the man held the confused bird aloft, he made sure the eagle was facing into the brilliant light of the setting sun. Then he powerfully heaved the bird into the sky, and this time the eagle opened his wings, looked at the sun, S-U-N, caught the updraft rising from the valley, and disappeared into the clouds of heaven. The man worked with him until he realized who he was in Christ. Well, who he was. But I'm talking to you, we should work with people until they realize who they are in Christ and quit being so quick to drop them. All right. But then also they have to be like the eagle, and quit just wanting to peck the ground and want what God has for them. So I said, do you know that we too were born for the sky? The Lord has called his people to live in the heights, has he not? Yet too many have huddled together in the barnyard, contently scurrying for the safety of their families, their finances, their careers, and their comfortable crumbs of faith. It is time to set your eyes upon heaven, spread your wings, and fly straight towards the sun, S-O-N. God said the eagle is soaring and getting ready to land. We've been soaring, but now we're getting ready to land to fight. Now, when the eagle's looking for prey, he soars in the sky. And when the eagle sights his prey on the ground, he narrows his focus on it and sets out to get it. No matter the obstacles, the eagle will not move his focus from the prey until he grabs it. He doesn't look around to see what might be coming after him. He's focused on his prey. We have been learning about the enemy for quite some time now. God has taught us of his wicked schemes, and it is time we focus our sights upon him and not move our focus until we destroy him. In other words, what is it in you that the enemy has a stronghold on? You need to focus on that stronghold and keep fighting him in that area until he leaves you. He's your prey, and you need to kill him. God is calling his eagles to get a vision to destroy the enemy and remain focused no matter what the obstacle and destroy the darkness at every turn. Then God said, eagles of Christ, are you ready to land and devour the prey? I don't believe there's too many in here that are ready to do that. I know you don't care what I think, but I'm going to tell you anyhow. You're so content being in the barnyard. And years ago, God taught a message about that. Pecking at the ground, always looking down, never looking up, never receiving the fullness of what God has for your life. Content with the beggarly elements of this world. Content to receive the crumbs from the table when God wants you to eat the best off of his table. What time is it? Is it 7:45? It's what? 7:15. Okay, that's good. I have a video, I think it's 20 minutes long, isn't it, that I would like to play tonight. The man's talking about how you can build up your giftings that you have. He's been seeing in the spirit since he's been 2 years old. I don't know how old he is now. But I just really thought it was a really good, God's calling us his eagle force. And God is saying he's been soaring and he's been getting things ready, but now he's getting ready to land to devour the enemy. And he wants each one of you to make sure in your heart that you are ready to land with him and destroy the enemy's camp at every turn. You need to first of all start in your own life, and then as you get yourself straightened out, then God will spread you out to others. And I'm just hearing God say, some of you are very weak in your commitment to him. Every little thing that comes down the pike throws you off course. Anytime the devil nudges you to get back into your sin, you willingly accept that nudge and go back into your sin. And God said, that can't be any longer if you're going to be part of this eagle force. You have to shun all manner of evil. And you have to start yielding yourself to God and obeying God at every turn. I don't know how many of you parents took to heart what I said about how I talked to my children and my two boys and had them receive Christ. But ever since we did this, they're talking to me about scriptures. And little Isaiah, now he wants to preach, you know. I mean, you know, their lives are changing just because they received Jesus Christ. And see, that was God showing me to do that. I could have sloughed that off and thought nothing else But I know when I hear I didn't hear it. I just, in my spirit, I felt I had to ask them, have they ever done that? Some of you sitting in here tonight, listening to me, you still have not really surrendered yourself to Christ. You're still holding on to things that are going to take you completely and totally out of God's hands. You have gifts. You can build those gifts up. I want you to listen to this video, 20 minutes long, right? You can set 20 minutes. It's not going to kill you, but it will build you up. It will help you in your giftings. I know many of you in here are called. You have giftings. And when I listened to this man, I thought about Brother Skip, because God said he had healing in his hands. And Brother Skip, I really want you to listen to what he's saying about building that gift. You can't build it up thinking about it. You have to put it into action. And so each one of you in here, I want you to quit thinking about it, and I want you to do what this young man tells you to do. Go ahead, Nancy. Will you turn the light out, please?
Hello, Sid Roth here. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. My guest sees so clearly into the invisible world, and he has imparted this gift to thousands. It makes them, are you ready? It makes them indestructible. Next. Hello, I'm here with Blake Healy. And Blake today is the director of the Bethel School of Ministry in Atlanta. And it is equipping thousands of young people to move in the same power that he moves in. But Blake, I have to tell you, it absolutely provokes me to jealousy. At 2 years of age, you're looking into the invisible world. I mean, how did you handle it?
Yeah, you know, it kind of happened in stages. When I was really young, everything that I saw in the spirit was just as normal to me as anything else. Because I remember when I was young, I just kind of took everything as face value. As I got a little bit older, especially 9, 10 years old, whenever I'd talk about some of the things that I was seeing, I would get kind of strange looks from my friends, and it made me think, well, maybe this is something you're not supposed to talk about or is impolite to talk about, and it made me start to shut
down. Well, your parents were Christians, but they didn't understand this.
Yeah, we grew up in a church that didn't really know how the supernatural worked, and so they didn't really know what to look for.
I'm just curious, when you would see angels, did they look like humans? What did they look like as a child, if you can remember?
Yeah, no, there was a wide variety. Some of them looked more or less like people. I remember we'd be in a worship service, and I would see angels that looked like kind of like young women. They had long hair, but they were wearing these golden flowing robes and carrying banners and leaping great distances and dancing and jumping around during worship.
Well, that sounds like better entertainment than anything we see on television.
Definitely.
Okay, but then you started really seeing clearly the dark side at 9. What occurred?
Yeah, so I would see demons, you know, now and then when I was younger, but I didn't really feel any sense of fear. It felt like something that was kind of, you know, out there. When I was 9, though, especially at nighttime, I'd start to have this just overwhelming fear come over me, and I would see demonic things, and sometimes for hours just lay in my bed, unable to go to sleep, just completely and totally terrified.
Did you go to your parents over this?
I was old enough then to know that what I was experiencing wasn't entirely normal. And so all I really told my parents was that I was scared. And, you know, they gave me all the great things to do. They gave me prayers to pray. They let me have a little CD player that I could play worship music. But for about 3 years, nothing I did helped at all.
But then God took mercy and sent your parents to a new church that believed in the supernatural. And of course, you went with them. What effect did that have on you?
Yeah, it was a real turning point in my life. We moved across the country and moved to a new church, and they're really active about teaching the gifts of the Spirit, and especially prophecy. And so I went to this prophetic class, and I was hearing about the different ways that people hear God's voice, visions, dreams, and all these different things. It was the first time that I had a real solid context for what was going on. Up until that point, I hadn't decided if either I was going crazy or if the devil had just decided to ruin my life.
Now, what about this fear How did you eventually got rid of this supernatural fear?
Yeah, it was an amazing thing. As soon as I learned about the prophetic, that gave me enough of a context that I was able to feel fully comfortable going to my parents, telling them everything that was going on. We spoke with the church leaders there, and even though none of them had the exact same gift, they had at least heard of people who had had the same kind of gift. And that one revelation that this wasn't just the enemy attacking me, this wasn't just me losing my mind, but it was a gift that I hadn't learned how to manage yet, it reoriented my experience from being just something that was happening to me to being rooted in something that I was meant to grow in. And what happened after that was amazing. I still saw the demonic stuff after I had that conversation with the leaders that first night, but all of the fear was gone. And after about a week, the demonic stuff stopped trying to bother me at all.
And I would imagine help people that are fearful.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I believe, again, God has not given us a spirit of fear. And it's one of the reasons I wrote this book is I want people to recognize that we don't have to just chase fear away. We're actually meant to live a life that actually repels the attacks of the enemy. I think that in that early part of my life, even though I was a Christian, I didn't necessarily have a real understanding of that, of where my identity was rooted in Christ. And it was that revelation that felt like it equipped me to just naturally repel those attacks.
So you literally learned how to change your environment by understanding the manufacturer's handbook, the Bible. And you equip others on how to do this. You literally believe that until it's God's moment for you to go to heaven, you are indestructible.
I absolutely believe that. I believe that God has anointed his children to be completely immune to the attacks of the enemy. It doesn't mean there won't be challenge. It doesn't mean there won't be trials. But I believe that we are meant to live a lifestyle and live in his presence in such a way where we know exactly how to navigate those trials and be successful in any kind of challenge.
Well, I have to tell you, your book is a God book. And it is, because it'll make you indestructible, too. You have an amazing revelation between light and darkness. I like it.
Absolutely. You know, and it's awesome. It's in the Bible. You know, very frequently in Scripture, the dichotomy between light and dark is used to describe the kingdom of the enemy and the kingdom of God. And I love this metaphor, because when you think about it, you know, light does not have to fight to displace darkness. It just shows up. if I go in my office and turn on the lights, it doesn't slowly, you know, creep away from the light. It doesn't slowly get scrubbed out. The moment that light is present, darkness is gone. And that's just the truth, is that it's not whether the plans of God can outweigh the plans of the enemy. It's, are we looking at our life with the lights on or the lights off?
Now, you're talking from Bible, but you are also talking from seeing so clearly in the invisible world. So the enemy, if you will, has tricks. For instance, shame. Tell us about Doug.
Yeah. I had this friend when I was younger, and to make a long story short, he had a really big problem with substance abuse. And as he got a little bit older, he managed to give up most of these issues, but he still had a problem with alcohol. You know, he'd be doing good for a few months, and then he'd just have to go on a real scary bender where he would just really indulge. And the most recent of these events had caused him to spend a little time in jail and lose his license. Mm. And I saw Doug at church, and hey, how's it going? And he was, you know, saying all these kind of self-deprecating kind of statements. And I noticed there was this demon that was following him. And any time that he would say one of those self-deprecating statements, it would dump this bucket of this kind of oily tar kind of stuff. It was this dark.
You have
stuff.
Such an advantage over most people. I am so glad that God raised you up to teach others that their gifts can be developed.
Oh, totally. And it's just something that can grow, you know. And you know, I watched as all this would come on him, and eventually I told him, you know, please stop, you know, you stop saying this stuff about yourself. And a few days later, I saw him again, and that very same demon was picking at these different little wounds that were on him, all the little hurts and pains of life, and was pulling them open with one hand, when with the other hand, it was shaking this brown bottle in front of his face. And the next time I saw Doug, he showed up to church drunk. And again, the second we made eye contact, I could see that he knew that he had started drinking again. And that exact same demon came and dumped that shame all over him again. And there's a righteous anger that comes up in me when I hope in other people too, when I realize the exact same demon that was trying to tempt him into violating his values is the exact same one that was condemning him and shaming him for having violated those values, trying to perpetuate a cycle.
Shame is a biggie. There are a lot of people watching us that have done the things, and every once in a while it comes to remembrance, and you feel a lot of shame. What advice do you have for them? How can they get rid of this shame?
Yeah, so when you've truly repented, when you've changed your mind and changed the way that you're living your life, you are invited into stepping into your identity in Christ. And when you receive your identity from Him, shame can't stick to you. It can't hang on to you. It just melts away. You still have a conviction. You still have the Holy Spirit helping to direct your path and guide you. But it's not like shame. Shame tries to tell you who you are, tries to have you identify with something negative. Conviction makes you want to repent again and return to Jesus and let Him transform your life.
Well, you know, it's once you come to your senses, I guess he finds, a bully wants to find someone else that'll bite. They'll just leave him.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Oh, certainly.
Okay, what about the lady in the healing line that learned how to hear God?
Oh, yeah, this was a great one. We have prayer lines at the end of our services every day at Bethel Atlanta, and I had a woman come up and was, you know, hey, what can I pray for you for? And she was really in a bad spot. She was having problems with her job, problems with her husband, and problems with her kids. There was just disconnection all over the place. And so I started praying for her, and I saw three angels standing behind her carrying these big canvas bags. And I saw stenciled on the bags was the word undelivered. And the angel reached in and pulled out a letter, and the letter also had a stamp that said undelivered on it. And I said, I think that the Lord really wants to speak to you. I think he has things he wants to share with you. Have you ever tried doing that before? And she hadn't. So we just did a little simple prayer. I'm going to pray for you. And we're just going to ask the Lord first, what does he have to say about your job? And I watched, and this angel tore open the letter. It had gold handwriting on it. And it's kind of tilted the letter as if it was pouring a glass of water. And all the letters came tumbling off in this gold dust and landed on the woman's head. And I said, do you feel anything? He said, well, I just all of a sudden felt this sense of peace. Again, it didn't necessarily answer the question, but it brought this feeling of peace. I said, okay, let's see what the Lord has to say about your husband. Another letter opened, and this one he just set on top of her head. And she saw this picture of her and her husband, and it was like a good, normal day. They were connecting, they were speaking. And she said, I just kind of had this memory or this thought come to my mind. And I said, I think the Lord is showing you what he's going to do. Just a few weeks later, she had total breakthrough with her job. She had healing and restoration with her husband. And just a few months after that, she was starting to reconcile and reconnect with her kids just because she had moved towards learning to hear God's voice for herself.
And isn't that what God wants for all of us? Not run to a Blake. Blake, what's God saying to me? Now, Blake saw God's end time glory being manifested on earth. I can't wait to find out what he saw. It's a wow. Next. The thought crossed my mind several times. Do you see anything going on in this set right now?
I'd be happy to share that. Well, of course, there's all the normal stuff, like every crew member and yourself, of course, has a personal angel that's following them around.
Oh, just the normal stuff. Okay.
But one thing that really stuck out to me that I thought was cool is I saw three angels right around the sides of the set, and they had these golden staffs and these big, beautiful wings, and every feather of the wing was a different color. And I was asking the Holy Spirit what it was, and I heard him say, it's the impartation for today, and it's every impartation that came before. It's an invitation for the body of Christ to awaken similar gifts that they have in themselves.
You talk about something that is so important for our viewers to understand. You call it the graveyard of dreams.
Yeah, it's this is a vision that I had that still leaves me a bit shaken. I was just out front of my house playing with my kids when all of a sudden I turned and looked and I saw Jesus standing at the end of my driveway. And he looked glorious. He was tall. He was wearing these beautiful robes. And I looked behind him and I saw these large, what looked to me like big file cabinets, but they were so high that they even blocked out the sun. And they were all over. I looked to the left, I looked to the right. They went as far as I could see. And I said, "Lord, what is this?" I heard him say, "It's a graveyard." And I thought, why is this in front of my house? And then he said, "It's a graveyard of dreams." And then again, I thought, why is this in front of my house? There couldn't be that many dreams for this little neighborhood, you know? But then he said, "No, this graveyard covers the entire earth." And then I asked the right question. I said, "Whose dreams are these?" And Jesus said, "They're my dreams." And at this point, I looked and I realized that there were these big racks of shelves. And some of the shelves looked beautiful. They looked ornate. They were made of marble and gold. And even some of them had flowers in them. And others were kind of plain, slate gray, like just kind of a, like a file cabinet. And I realized that there was this difference between these two drawers. And then I heard Jesus say, "Not all of my dreams come true." And he said, "Do you want to see them?" And he walked forward and he opened one of the gray drawers, one of the dead ones. And it was a really long drawer. And front to back, it was full of all of these pieces of paper. And he pulled a few of these papers out. And the best way I can describe what was on these papers was it was like the most detailed business plan I had ever seen. Every thought, every piece of equipment, every personnel, everything that would be needed to accomplish this particular goal was planned for, thought out, and prepared. But it just sat there as a plan. And so then he took me and he opened one of the beautiful drawers, one of the ornate ones. And I was shocked that when he opened it, I saw a pair of feet sitting in there. And I leaned lower and I looked in and could see a whole person. And I looked up at Jesus and he said, "All of my dreams come true through my children." And immediately I realized that the dreams that had come true were representative of places where people had given their lives for the plans of God, that they had dedicated their lives and their time here on earth to accomplish God's purposes and plans. And the gray drawers represented plans where people had not decided to do that and had just left that plan sitting there. And I quickly realized that there were a lot more of the gray drawers than there were of the beautiful ones. And I felt this kind of anger rise up in me. And I, without really thinking about it, I turned to him and said, "Well, then why do you dream at all?" And immediately he said, when he did, it washed all the anger out of me. He said, "I never stop hoping in my children, no matter how many times my hope is deferred." And then he paused for a moment and said, "Would you like to see your drawer?" And he pulled over to this section where all the drawers were sitting open and they were just empty. And he pulled open the drawer in front of me that I knew was mine. And I looked inside and it looked like a coffin. It was padded and soft. And I looked, and it was about as wide as a file cabinet. And I looked down at myself and, I'm a little bit wider than a file cabinet. And so half jokingly, I said, "That seems a little small." And he said, "That's right. There's no room for your dreams in there, only mine." And he said, "But don't worry, I'll hold on to your dreams for you." And I knew at that moment that that was neither a promise that he was going to put those dreams in there with me or that he was going to hold those dreams back. It was simply an invitation to trust him. And so, wanting to do just that, I had stepped in the drawer. And the second that I stepped in the drawer, I had something happen that had only happened once before that I can remember in my life. When I see in the spirit, it's intermixed with everything else that I see, and so it's just kind of naturally there. But this was different. This was a full open vision. I could still feel the ground underneath my feet. I could still hear my kids playing, but everything that I could see was nothing but this vision that God showed me. And I found myself high up in the sky, about airplane height, and I looked down, and there was a city below me. I looked to my left and I looked to my right, and there was other people as far as I could see in the air with me. And I looked behind me and I saw Jesus there, just as glorious as he had been before. And as Jesus was there, there was this light that was shining out of him, this pure, beautiful white light. And it shone out in these straight beams. And as these beams came, they hit each person. As they hit each person, just like white light going through a prism, the light split into multiple colors, but then it continued to split into patterns, into shapes, into different movements. Some of them very organic and natural and beautiful, and some of them were very geometric and architectural and also beautiful in their own way. And then I listened and I heard him say, "Watch what it does." And as I looked ahead, my vision just began to go further and further and further. And I watched as this light hit all of these different places on the earth, from the greatest to the least. I saw his presence land on a school, and I saw what his glory looked like manifested in a school. I saw it hit the boardroom of a Fortune 500 company, and I saw what his glory would look like manifested there. Not just people being slain in the spirit or overwhelmed by his presence, but releasing glory in the unique expression that was designed for that place. And for what felt like hours, I saw place after place, every level of society. I saw the children of God running to the brokenhearted, to the motherless, to the fatherless, and releasing healing and wholeness. And it was the most beautiful thing I had ever seen. And it went on for what felt like hours. Until finally I blinked. And I was back in my driveway.
I'm sorry, you blinked.
I shouldn't have blinked. I was back in my driveway, and Jesus was standing in front of me. And I said, "What was that? Is that what's going to happen? Is that what could happen? What is that?" And he said, "It's already started." And I realized then, you know, I can maybe give a little bit of a picture of what it would look like for God's glory to show up in a church service. I can imagine what that looks like. From my younger days, I can imagine a little bit of what the glory of God looks like on a school campus. But there are so many places on this earth that I just really don't know what his manifested glory looks like. What does it look like in an auto shop? What does it look like in an attorney's office? What does it look like at a dentist?
We're walking down a path that the world has never walked down before. Mm-hmm. And the old ways are not going to work. Yeah. The only thing that's going to work is your own experiential knowledge of God through Jesus. Tell God you're sorry for your sins. Believe that he's forgiven you of every bad thing you've ever done in your life because he paid the price for it. And then with your mouth say, "Jesus, come inside, live inside of me, and be my Lord." Your own words, but do it now.
Okay, so God had told, he has already told us that we were going to do things that we've never seen before. And he's told us that we have to yield totally and completely 100% to him in order for him to use us as this young man described. As I was watching this, God said, "If you really, truly want your gift to start manifesting, then you come to the altar tonight. He's going to touch you, and your gifting is going to increase and multiply until everything he's ever spoken in your life will manifest itself." So the altar's open. If you really want the giftings that you know that God has spoken into your life, if you want them to start manifesting, God's going to touch you and increase that gift. You know, some of you keep saying, "God, when's this going to happen? When's this going to happen?" And God said, "When you're ready, when you're ready, it'll start manifesting. And tonight you're telling God you're ready. You want it to start manifesting. Receive everything he wants to give you tonight. Don't play games with God tonight. What do you want your file cabinet to look like? You know, this young man said that everybody needs to start hearing God for themselves, and God's been trying to get you to do this for years. You're always wanting a prophetic word. What you need to do is stand before the Father and let him give you the word personally, you and him only. Instead of you always wanting a word from somebody else, you need to get the word directly from God, and you need to learn to build up your gifting of prophecy so God can use you to minister to those who don't have that gift. Father, we thank you for being in our presence tonight. We thank you, Father God, for reaching deep down inside of us and taking our dreams into your hands and replacing it with your dreams for our lives. We're sorry, Father God, that we were selfish and indifferent. And we were always wanting our dreams to be brought forth. Tonight, we give you everything that we've ever desired, and we only want what you want for our lives. Receive us into your heavenly kingdom tonight, Father. Let us truly want to soar in the heavenlies as you called us to tonight. And Father God, your prophetic word said we were not supposed to be pigeons. Father God, we repent for wanting to be a pigeon. And we ask you tonight to touch us. Cause us to become a true eagle that you can send forth to minister to others. We repent, Father God, for holding on to the past and not wanting to walk into the future. We repent, Father God, of being a stumbling block to any others. We repent for not trusting you with our lives. One thing God spoke to me while that movie was going on was that video. He said, when I know I can trust them, then they will be sent forth to do a great mighty works. You need to speak to the Father tonight and tell him that he can trust you. And when you say those words, you make a covenant with him. And he's going to hold you to that covenant.